Hey, Tom Tilley here. Welcome to the Hack Podcast. It's Friday, a very exciting day where we open the phones. So listening on the podcast, you'll get to hear what people from all around Australia think on the big stories of the week. Here's a taste of what's to come.
Hack. I was throwing up everywhere. My heart was just completely pounding and I really couldn't breathe.
She had been run out of Hawaii by the mafia there.
It's gotten to that stage and I just needed to speak to someone.
On Triple J.
Cameron's jumped in straight away. Cameron, you're calling in on the vaping discussion today.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Yeah, what was your experience?
So I was smoking from about the age of 13 till I was 26. I gave up about 4 years ago, but I had a bit of a relapse earlier in the year on cigarettes. So,
okay, has vaping helped you or hindered you in that process?
Well, I pretty much went quickly from the first cigarette to being on 30-plus by week two, and I went down and picked up a vape and started, and I haven't touched them since then. And
okay. So we're going to talk about the 6 deaths in America related to vaping. Does that worry you?
Not really, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot more to that story than what's being shown in the media at the moment, from what I can see.
Yeah, all right, we'll talk more about it later. Thanks for joining us there. Cameron, I'd love to hear from you as well. You can call in on any big story this week. The number is 1300 055536. And hanging out with you today is comedian Nazeem Hussain. Nazeem, how are you doing?
Not bad, bro. How are you?
Yeah, good. Nice shorts.
Thank you very much. That is the name of the web comedy sketch series.
Really?
That I'm part of. Yeah, great plug. That was, you can check it out on, well, I think my Instagram and other people's Instagrams, but it's a good bunch of funny people making funny stuff just for the internet.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say it's all going on Instagram, because we're going to talk about Brown Cardigan in a moment. They put a lot of great content. They've just been taken down on Instagram, so it could be a bit of a dangerous strategy if that's your real
less competition for me.
Good point. Our other guests.
No, it's a horrible day. What a horrible day.
Brown dark day. It's a serious topic. We'll hit that later. Our other guest is Daily Telegraph journo Eliza Barr, who's also ropeable about Brown Cardigan being taken off Instagram.
I absolutely am. I don't know why social media doesn't want us to have fun. I think Brown Cardigan was just a lighthearted thing that we could enjoy. I don't know why it's gone.
Great source of stories for you as well as a court reporter. We'll get to that later as well. So much coming up on the show. Let's get deeper into vaping. It's been a kind of a bad month for it. 6 suspected vaping deaths in the US in the last month. And now Donald Trump is even weighing in.
Vaping has become a very big business, as I understand it, like a giant business in a very short period of time. But we can't allow people to get sick, and we can't have our youth be so affected.
On Triple J.
He kind of sounds like he's just jealous he didn't get in on the business earlier. I know Melania Trump is worried about e-cigarettes too, and so a lot of health authorities. There's been a big debate about the impact around the world. We have relatively tight laws here in Australia where you need a prescription for nicotine vaping products. And those lawmakers in Australia maybe feel justified given what's happening in the US. 6 Americans have died in the last month and it's suspected their deaths were vaping related. Early analysis shows the deaths may be connected to vitamin E acetate, which is sometimes found in THC vape oil. Here's some of our coverage from this week.
I am testing out a Juul for the very first time.
New urgency tonight in the nation's vaping emergency. The 6th death linked to vaping is a Kansas woman who officials say died a week after using e-cigarettes for the first time.
The Centers for Disease Control also said there are 450 reported cases of lung illness in more than 30 states tied to vaping.
I thought maybe I had bronchitis, and so I was like, oh, it's fine, it'll go away.
In a matter of hours, she was in the hospital getting liter after liter of oxygen.
It's like, oh my God, all this stuff that I've been doing, like the past 2 years that I thought was completely harmless has silently been killing me.
Average age 19, more than 80% of the cases in Illinois and Wisconsin, men. So these are people who are vaping THC and nicotine.
We've got plenty of enough evidence to know now that compared to smoking, the risks of vaping are at most 5% of the risk of smoking.
Well, the USA is obviously facing a youth e-cigarette crisis, and really the USA is trying to fix there what we're really trying to avoid here.
On Triple J.
On the text line, Pat from Townsville says, I reckon Donald Trump should be more concerned about related deaths from guns. Good point. Justin from Kilmore says, your lungs are designed to inhale air, nothing else. It's your own stupid fault if you get sick from vaping. I'd love to hear from you. What's been your experience with vaping if you've tried it? Has it been good or bad? Has it helped you get off smoking? Are you worried about what's been happening with vaping in the US? Respiratory-related illnesses and six deaths. Still finding out more about those. Give me a call, 1-300-055-36. Eliza, what did you make of those revelations around the deaths from vaping in the US?
Obviously, it is very serious and there are very clear risks associated with vaping. However, I think that the response is a little bit disproportionate when we think about the risk associated with smoking and the way in which we've seen governments respond or not respond to that by contrast.
Yeah, it's a really interesting debate. You've got a lot of people saying that they're way safer than cigarettes and they're helping people stop smoking, but other people are really concerned not just about the most recent revelations, but also that young people are taking them up. And these are not people who were smoking and getting off smoking. These are people who were never going to smoke or vape.
I think that vapes probably have a bit more of a sanitised image than cigarettes have historically had. We've had a lot of time to think about the associated risks of cigarette smoking, but it almost seems like vapes are thought of as a bit of a party novelty and people maybe aren't taking those risks as seriously, but nonetheless, so much less than cigarette smoking, and I think the response does really need to be proportionate in that respect.
Nazeem, I asked you not to bring one into the studio, but you've done it anyway. Where do you stand on vaping? Obviously, pro.
I don't vape. I've never smoked. But look, I just think it's some sort of cruel irony that the thing that is supposed to help people get off the thing that kills them now also apparently kills them. But as
in very small numbers.
In very small numbers, six people, we don't know if they were already done. I don't know anything.
Compared
about
to the millions that die from smoking.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, I don't know. I feel like if it is helping people get off smoking, then I really don't. It's a tricky. I have no idea about addiction. I don't know how hard it is to quit smoking. I find it difficult to quit sugar. So smoking would be incredibly difficult. I guess, you know, Australia seems to regulate things a lot more than the US. In the US, you can just buy stuff over the counter, whereas I think Australia has higher standards. So, you know, if maybe now, if you're going to consider vaping, maybe speak to your doctor. But I seem to think that anything that the US government or governments tell their people to do or not do regarding substance use seems to be just dismissed by people. When has anyone gone, I'm not going to take drugs because the government said not to take drugs. I'm not going to smoke cigarettes because the government said it's bad for me. I don't think people are going to change their habits because of how the government responds to these sorts of things.
Yeah, it is often the case. You're right there. Dane, what's your experience?
Well, I smoked cigarettes for 20 years, or over 20 years, closer to 25 years.
Huge.
And I jumped from a packet of Roly cigarettes a week straight across to vaping. So like my vape, you know, I add my own liquid, and originally we could buy the liquid from a store here in Hobart, and you could get nicotine in it, but the government's since cancelled the nicotine. And you can't buy any e-liquid, which is what it's called, e-liquid that goes in your vape, with nicotine in Australia. It's illegal. You have to get it from New Zealand or somewhere else overseas. So
but we had Dr. Alex Wadock saying that with a doctor's prescription you could get it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, how many doctors are going to hand out nicotine without a question?
So have you been able to find a doctor that has prescribed it for you or not?
No.
Have you tried?
Mine from overseas.
Right. It's just easier. It's not even worth going to the doctor because you can get it online.
Well, because you can order it from New Zealand. New Zealand hasn't got a clamp on their nicotine like Australia does. So you can order your e-juice from over there and get your nicotine put in at the milligram that you need. But, you know, you have to go through a certain routine even to get that from New Zealand to Australia. Like, you know, it's pretty difficult. It's not something
you need a mule.
You just get away with doing.
You volunteer. Nazeem's offering to be your mule to go over for you, bring it back in his suitcase. How would you hide it, Nazeem?
Mate, I've got very competitive rates and I've got my ways. So I'll chat off here.
So, Dame, do you think Australia should have shouldn't have such restrictive laws around vaping?
Well, we don't to start with. I mean, things could change now with America going on, but I firmly believe with what I've read that possibly all these illnesses and sicknesses and then infections, whatever, in America and deaths are all pot-related. So pot and vaping, like THC combined with vaping. I believe they're herbal vaporizers. You know, people are using a liquid that's got a high vitamin E content. Now, that just speaks to me marijuana.
Okay, but for the nicotine-based products, which sounds like what you're interested in because you're seeing it as a replacement to smoking, do you think that should be widely available in Australia?
Well, yeah, I believe it should be because, I mean, I've been vaping for 3 years now. I went from cigarettes to vaping and I was on the stage of getting emphysema. And my health is now, I'm back to about 80%, out of 100, when I was down to about 10%, health-wise, couldn't breathe. I can run now,
Good to hear, Dan.
I'm a little bit of weight, but yeah, all right. My health back.
Don't need the whole medical history, but good to hear.
Is that 80%?
Well, for
that's
you.
Good.
Yeah.
Self-diagnosis.
Just stick with the number. Keegan in Brisbane, what's been your experience?
Hello.
G'day, mate. We're talking about vaping. Where do you stand?
So I currently work in a vape shop, have done for probably about a year and a half. Basically, with all the stuff happening in the States and so on and so forth, vaping's been around since, I think, about 2001. So in that 18 years, there's been probably 6 deaths that they've confirmed linked to vaping. A lot of those, from what I've read and what a lot of other people have read, they're all from, THC cartridges that people have... It's probably from old crackhead down the road that decided to make some THC oil in his bathtub, and then sell it to the fresh vapors and stuff like that. That's what basically.
Well, it's
going
a booming
on.
Market. You can't blame them for wanting to get into it.
That's it. Profit's not a dirty word, but
it does raise the question about stronger regulation.
Yeah, it definitely does need to be regulated. Like here in Queensland, we. Obviously, nicotine, you're not allowed to buy it from any shop. We're not allowed to sell it. No. Everyone's forced to kind of jump online and buy nicotine from overseas retailers that way. You've got people that are going to be mixing their own nicotine from 100 milligram strength and probably doing it wrong.
Yeah, it's so hard to police all this stuff with the internet making these products so available from international markets. Keegan, thanks for the call. Bridget in Melbourne says, so electronic cigarettes are going to be banned after 6 deaths, but tobacco is responsible for thousands, if not millions, of deaths over the years, and it's not met with the same scrutiny. As a doctor, this irritates me. WTF. Another listener says, what about cigarette deaths? Way more deaths. Yep, we're on the same page there. Someone else says, sounds like tobacco industry stitch up to me. Well, I don't know about that because they're the ones trying to sell the vaping products. Bruce in Culbara, you say, just refer to everyone who vapes as a vapist and people will stop doing it.
Got to a realisation that there was no reason for me to be there anymore. I thought it's gotten to that stage and I just needed to speak to someone.
On Triple J.
Yesterday was Are You OK Day, and a guest on our show really caught our ear this week with this very interesting statistic that half of people that took their own lives had actually reached out for help in the previous 6 weeks. It's pretty alarming. So we wanted to find out more about where you can go for effective help.
50% of the people who die every year in Australia from suicide have actually sought help in the last 6 weeks from health services, and they have not found it.
Isn't that shocking that half the people who take their own lives have actually sought help in the last 6 weeks, but they still ended up dying?
The problem isn't taken seriously enough, urgently enough, the services to actually respond and make a difference. Do you know someone, if someone close to you is in trouble, do you know where there's really good help? Not just any help, but good help. You know, mental health, particularly for young people, for this audience, really matters. It's the big health issue.
So about 8 years ago, I tried to take my life. I seeked help by Darwin 000, and I got the support. They just didn't know how to look after me.
What did you want them to do?
I just wanted them to help with my pain that I was experiencing, my fault.
Not Are You OK? Where do we all go? So Are You OK is fine, but if you say, yes, I'm not OK, what do we do then? And we know people don't know the answer to that.
Triple J.
Yeah, really interesting discussion. I'd love to hear from you. Where did you find help that worked? Or how were you able to help a friend? Give me a call, 1300 055 36. Hanging out with you today on The Shake Up is Eliza Barr from the Daily Telegraph in Sydney and Nazim Hussain, comedian. Nazim, can you relate to this story?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tricky because Are You OK Day is very important. And I think, making sure that you're checking in on your friends, but not in a sort of token surface level sort of way. I mean, one of my best friends still remains one of my best friends. He came out to me years ago. And when he came out to me, he was telling me about how lonely and isolated he felt when he felt he couldn't come out to people, to the point where he drove to a bridge, to the Westgate Bridge, to try and end his life, and he couldn't because there were barriers up, and so then he just kept driving. And at that point, we were still very, very, you know, we were really, really close friends, and I was really confused and baffled as to why he couldn't feel he could even speak to me, but I really should have picked up on certain signs, or even I should have actually just been a little bit more, I don't know, maybe invasive. Like, I think sometimes when you're checking up on your friends, you can just say, "How you doing? Are you okay?" And you think that's probably sufficient, whereas actually a real friend kind of, you know, is a little bit more of a detective with their friends and their ups and their downs, as you should be with yourself. Because I think sometimes with him, anyway, by the time he was in that spiral, it was probably too late, and it might have been too late to talk to him. So I think you've got to get help early, speak to your friends and seek professional advice. I think that statistic was that 50% of people sought help, but they didn't get help. So, you know, helping your friends get help and connect them with a professional that you might have seen, I think is really helpful.
So what do you think eventually helped your friend?
I honestly think speaking to people and feeling like he was part of a community. So he found himself, I think, at a gay club in Melbourne, and like immediately after he drove from the bridge, and then he suddenly felt, well, these are people that are like me. He felt he could speak to them.
Right.
He felt he could speak to people that could understand him. So I think being a good friend is someone that you feel you can speak to and not be judged around. So really just being better friends to people around you, I think, is the first step. And also taking away the I know we've talked about it a lot on Triple J, but really just making, you know, seeing a professional, you know, seeing a psychologist or a counsellor, just normal. You know, we see a doctor or a physiotherapist if we've torn a muscle. If we've got mental injuries or trauma or scars, why don't we just go see a psychologist in the same way that it's nothing to see a doctor?
Yeah, I think we're getting much better at that, fortunately. Alice, you're a doctor. Where do you think the right place is to look for effective help?
Yeah, I think it's a really difficult situation. I'm training to be a psychiatrist at Eastern Health, and I work with youth from ages kind of 12 to 25. We have a specific unit that was created to address youth suicide that takes kids who are in crisis, and the admissions are short. They're about 24 to 48 hours, but it gets them across that gets them through that crisis period.
Okay, so how do they find you in the first place? By presenting an emergency?
By presenting an emergency where they get an urgent mental health assessment.
Okay, because you hear a lot of stories from people who turn up to emergency departments at hospitals and don't get taken seriously.
So in the emergency department, there's a specific mental health worker in a public department that does a full assessment of them at the moment, and then it's determining where they can go. So if they're too unsafe to go home, then they can go directly into hospital, into the mental health ward.
Is that in all hospitals or just the one you're working in?
This should be in all public hospitals in Melbourne, yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right, thanks so much for the call. Dr. Josh from Ballarat's chimed in. I'm a rural GP, do a lot of mental health work. The good GP care is out there. If you can't find the right help straight away, don't give up, keep asking. Natalie's called in from Dalby. What's been your experience, Natalie?
Hi there. I used to live in Ipswich, and at the time I was going through a really tough time, and I actually had one night where I decided this was it, and it was the end of the world, and honestly, it was awful, and my partner woke up to me, obviously, I wanted to commit suicide, and so first thought for him was I need to call a hospital, like, she's in pain, there's something wrong, and they actually said to him, sleep it off, tell her to sleep it off, take her to the GP tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, that doesn't really get you anywhere when you're feeling like that, does it?
No. I was a bit shell-shocked, to be honest. I was like, oh, my God, like, the people who are supposed to care don't care.
Yeah.
So it was really awful. And I moved back to Dalby with my parents and actually got better help in a rural place than in a city spot. So it was really quite opposite to what a lot of people I know experience.
What eventually helped you?
I ended up going to a GP in Dalby, and he referred me straight away to the hospital, and I went straight to hospital and spoke to a psychiatrist and a therapist and started seeing them regularly, and that was pretty much that. And now I'm 100% better. I'm working full-time again.
Oh, awesome.
But it was just like, such an awful beginning to getting help.
Yeah, but amazing that, you know, in regional Queensland, in Dalby, is where you eventually got the help you needed, because we hear so often that that's the hardest place to get help in country towns.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I was so shocked. You know, it was like, go home. And I was like, well, what are they going to do? If the city can't help me, as if they're going to have resources here. And it was actually so much better.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Thanks so much for sharing your story, Natalie.
No worries. Thank you.
Have a look at that. Not bad. Two seconds in. Not bad. Good choice.
On Triple J.
Now, you know, I always say on Hack, we do the stories that matter to you. The really important stuff, and this next story is a really good example. I know it's a story a lot of you care about. One of Australia's most popular satire Instagram accounts, Brown Cardigan, has been taken off Instagram today.
That's very bad.
It's heavy. Who's that? they had about 680,000 followers. I'm sure lots of you listening make up those followers. Way more than Batuta Advocate. I mean, way bigger. And they just post ridiculous memes and videos, rich in irony, Australiana, ridicule. They used to give me a really hard time a few years ago.
Do they?
Yeah, they moved on, thank God.
What do they make fun of you about?
Oh, there was
your topless selfies.
There were a few bad shots getting around.
You posted them yourself. You knew they were good.
Yeah, good / bad, you know, same thing.
Thirsty, if anything.
Excuse me. Toby, founder of Brown Cardigan, what is going on?
Mate, they were good posts. You know who they were.
They were great. I can't believe you used the word ridiculous.
Oh,
it's art. High art.
That's good.
Anyway, you moved on. You got more followers, so that's all great. But now you're in a real crisis. What happened today?
Oh, mate. Okay, so it's hard to say what exactly happened or how it happened, but, I think it's a culmination of things that have been posted over the years, or maybe in the last maybe 6 months when they started to crack down and everything. And they started, like, freaking out and, you know, banning everyone and whatever. And we were getting like, you know, warnings and stuff saying, oh, your account's going to be deleted. But it was all for reporting. It was all for posts that we could easily say that, you know, weren't breaking the rules in any way. You know, we had permission from all of them, except for one, you know, for this chick giving her husband a wristy on the beach. But...
I didn't see that one.
I missed that one.
There's a lot of love.
There's a lot of up for 15 minutes.
All right, a lot of 15.
What was up for 15 minutes?
the wristy.
Oh, the post.
15 minutes of fame. There's a lot of
15 minute wristy.
That's generous. Toby, there's a lot of outrage on the text line. What the F? May as well delete my Instagram account. Someone else says WTF Brown Cardi. Someone else says, where do we riot?
Where's the meeting point?
Nazeem, there's a climate change emergency, mate. I think that's a bit out of line.
Good question. I'm still yet to figure that out. We haven't really got too much contact with them. It's really hard to get an email.
And this is business for you. It's just a joke, I know that. But you actually put lots of time into this. You've been working on it for years, and there are sort of behind-the-scenes dodgy business relationships. Is this going to cost you money?
Not really. I mean, we don't make a whole lot of money. And, like, that's the thing, is that... when we do, you know, it's
for the people.
We were literally about to announce a cyborg party, and it was like, I went on there, and then it seems deleted.
It's a lockout laws all over again, mate.
Yeah, well, someone's just chiming in on the text line saying Brown Cardigan only got shut down due to political correctness, which is interesting. Yeah, it's gone crazy. Eliza, you've actually got stories, like legitimate newspaper stories out of Brown Cardigan before. Tell us about that.
I did. So I was at Sutherland Local Court one day last year, and I felt Jesus calling me to courtroom 3, which is when I walked in and I found the gentleman featured on Brown Cardigan last year riding his jet ski out of the river at Gray's Point and into the car park at great speed. And I believe in Brown Cardigan for the same reason that I believe in The Bachelor and the Super Bowl halftime show. Not everything can be serious all the time. As a court reporter, I know that we live in a really dark world where people do some really terrible things, and we deserve to laugh. We need to laugh. And I just think it is so tragic that something that was just a bit of good fun for all of us has been taken away. And Instagram, if you're listening, bring it back,
I agree with you, Eliza. We should be laughing. And look, here's a bit of a hypocrisy. I'm on Instagram right now looking at a post on the 11th of June on Tom Tilley's Instagram account. Mm. And there he is standing there poolside in the tiniest of budgie smugglers with speed dealer glasses on. Instagram allows that to be on the internet, but takes out not bad, good size. This is a catastrophe.
Yeah, something's gone wrong.
What are you going to do with all the content that people are sending you? Can you send it to Tom and I and we could post it?
Yeah, Toby, we need some traction.
Yeah. Brown Cardigan 2.0.
We've got the second account, the burner account.
Oh, how fast is that growing?
It's going good. We've gotten like 15K in the last 2 days. It's up to
what's that called?
What's the handle?
Brown Cardigan 69. Of course.
I found it. There it is.
Stuff.
Perfect.
All right. Toby, our heart goes out to you and your fellow Brown Cardigan content sharers. I don't even know how to categorize
this. Will only make them stronger.
I think so. Yeah. It's the best thing that could happen to you guys.
She'd been run out of Hawaii by the mafia there. And, you know, my brother's at a house party as a backpacker and he's like, whoa, this chick's amazing. So totally fell in love with her and stuff.
Triple J.
So that's the voice of someone who's a very close friend of the station. Actually, our boss. His name's Ollie Wards. And he's revealed this wild family story this week on a new podcast. Basically, his brother married a con artist and their family lost their home and life savings. It's a completely crazy story. It's called Snowball. It's the latest from the ABC Unravel podcast. Get around it. Here's part of it.
Hack. My brother married an American con artist.
I find myself in a murky world of con artists and swindlers.
This isn't the kind of story you would expect to happen to a pretty average Kiwi family like mine.
I was just gobsmacked as to what's going on here.
I just remember it being like, whoa.
She had this dark, vivacious...
And then, whoa.
A surface skin and look to her.
And then after like two or three woes...
She's a sociopath.
It wasn't really a surprise. You're like, I wonder what the next woe is going to be.
On Triple J.
Yeah, Ollie Wards' podcast, check it out, Snowball, it's the Unravel Season 3, very interesting stuff. I wonder if you've fallen for the same trap, maybe on a smaller scale, maybe you didn't lose your house, but you were so in love that you really, really missed some obvious red flags. Give me a call, 1-300-055-36. Nazim, have you ever missed any key character flaws?
I do not have $1 million to give away, so that has never happened. But to be honest, you know, what do they say? At the start of a relationship, you start to fill in gaps of knowledge
with
positivity.
You make it up, don't you?
You make it up.
You see a few bits of evidence, and then you draw the narrative on how wonderful this person is.
Yes, and it's the opposite when you break up with someone. All the things that you don't know, you start to feel
like
negative things. Yeah, it flips. So this story has actually freaked me out about the idea of relationships because basically the bottom line is if it seems too good to be true... It's probably too good to be true. Just run away. That's the take home for me.
No,
don't trust people anymore.
You've got to still believe in love, don't you?
Don't listen to the podcast then.
Oh, you
turn me off.
You sound bitter. Eliza, can you relate to this in any way?
I think, I don't want to slam social media, but I think that it is making it easier for us to fall into a pattern where we present only the most polished version of ourselves to people and be the person that we want them to see us as. And again, I also don't have $1 million to give away, but I have certainly been in situations where people have presented themselves to me in certain ways. And you don't ever want to believe that someone is a liar or a bad person. If you see something good in them, you want to believe that you were right and that they are the person that they appear to be. And I think that makes it all the more devastating when it turns out that they're not who they said they were.
Have you been in that situation where someone's totally misrepresented themselves or
have you misrepresented yourself?
Yeah.
No, I have never misrepresented myself because I think you can Google me enough that it would be too hard to lie. I'm sure probably both of you could relate as well. There's enough on Google to dispel any lies that I might put before someone. But I have been misled before, but certainly nothing on this scale.
Mm. Like the sort of scale where someone looks hotter on their profile than they are in real life.
Hey, nothing wrong with a few filters.
You don't look like you use any filters, Tom.
Who amongst us hasn't done it before?
I need a bit of work on the filters. Thanks, Nazim. Appreciate that.
You're looking hot. You know it. Anyway, weird on-air flirting.
Thanks, babe. On the text line. The Snowball podcast is so effing good, and it really is. Get around it. Not just because it's our boss, Ollie Wards. hi, Ollie. know you're listening. Pete from Parramatta, you say rose-tinted glasses make red flags look normal. Oh, that's Gene, that's poetry. Pete keeps texting
wow.
in. Incredible stuff. All right, that
what
is
you
all
reckon?
The
time.
No,
okay, no,
I don't,
no,
I don't, because no, we're about to hit the news. Okay, Nazim Hussain, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good times. Eliza Barr from the Daily Telly, thank you so much for joining us.
Hack on Triple J.
Thank you so much for listening today. It's been a great first week back on air. Thank you for having me. Hope you had an amazing week and hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.